Amen. Let's get into the message today. Won't be long. Lord willing. Amen. Got something from God. Wants to speak to our hearts. Amen. Touch us. Amen. And strengthen us. Encourage us. Amen. When you go to the house of the Lord, you should be encouraged.
Amen.
And you can be encouraged. Even the tough messages encourage us. Amen. If we respond right to it. Amen. I don't believe this is a tough message, but it is an encouraging message. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll open in prayer. Amen. And then we'll start. Lord, we thank you for this time to open your word to hear from heaven. God, we ask you to speak to us.
Right.
Challenge us. God, just draw us closer to you, Lord. God, let us fall more in love with you, Lord. God, encourage your people, Lord, to press on, to go forward in Jesus' name. We give you the honor, the glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody got an imagination? The kids say yes, because you're a kid. You might not be able to follow me all the way back because you don't want to get the people. But imaginations. So we all got an imagination. Even the adults. We got to let our imagination go. So just for a second here, you got to entertain me. Use your imagination, okay? All right. So imagine that we are a people, like the children of Israel, but not really. But just imagine that somebody come in and conquered this area and totally took it over. And they went and they took the Oaks family to Honduras and took them over there. Then they took these two and they put you two in China. Okay? Then they took Sister Judy. We'll let her family go with her. Tail the top. They took them and they put them in Russia. Amen. And then they took Pastor and his wife and they put him in
Siberia.
He said Siberia. Oh, Lord mercy. I'm going to say Mexico. Okay? All right. At least they can communicate. They know Spanish. They'd be okay in Mexico. Amen. And then they took Chelsea and then we'll let Joni go with her and all them family. And we put them in South America. Okay? So way down there. So imagine that happened. Like, so initially we all laugh, but think about that for a second. Boy, that would be pretty discouraging. Because we've all gotten to know each other. You know, we enjoy seeing each other sometimes. Now, we enjoy seeing each other. You know, but we're going to read a similar story that happened to the children of Israel, where they were conquered by the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were the world power at the time. And the Babylonians would literally, when they come into Jerusalem, they took the people of Jerusalem and they put one way hundreds of miles that way. And they took another family and they moved them hundreds of miles that way. And some of the families went to Babylon. And some of them went that way and just a small little bit stayed in Jerusalem. So there was people all over the place and isolated. Why did the Babylonians do that? The Babylonians did that because they conquered and they wanted to rule the world, but they didn't want the people to rebel against them. And so they would separate all the nations like that. When they separated all the nations, they couldn't rejoin together to fight against them. But then they wouldn't treat them bad, is they would give them a chance to start their life over again. So the Babylonians would say, as long as you don't rise up against us and cause a disruption, we're going to let you restart your life in your new area. So they were allowed to just continue on, you know, and not necessarily, they weren't in prison or they weren't slaves, they were allowed to restart their life. But when you think about that, that would be extremely difficult. Why would it be difficult? It would be difficult because you just lost everything you knew. Be sad. Your home, your friends, your garden, your everything, maybe your work, your just everything. You lost everything. So it would kind of create a mental kind of block. You would kind of just almost want to shut down and kind of go into hiding and go into a cave. And so that's what had happened. And the one person that was one of the people that was left in Jerusalem was Jeremiah. And there was a group that went over to Babylon, And so Jeremiah receives a letter or a message from God, and he writes a letter to the people that got sent to Babylon. And this is that letter. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is that letter. I gotta say this before I read. Why did this happen? You know, a lot of times we ask, why did this bad thing happen? How did I get here? To be honest, it's sort of important, but it's not really important why you got to where you are. The idea is, what are you gonna do now that you're there? Now that you're there. So the reason they, well, I'll tell you the reason they got carried away to Babylon is because they had sinned. They had grieved God. They were serving other gods. It was a very bad situation. So God had allowed them to get carried away. So that was the reason. Sometimes the reason that we wind up in rough situations, it might be on us. Okay? Mm-hmm. Might be things that we did. Mm-hmm. It might be things that someone in our loved one did. Okay? It might be, you know, just the sin of the country that has got us into the predicament that we are. But really, sometimes, I wanted to say that because sometimes we, and this will fit in the message, sometimes we stop there. We stop there. We're so focused on what had happened that we stop living. We stop living. And so what we're going to see when we read this is some of the people stop living. You know, it could have been their fault. They got carried away. It could have been their neighbor's fault. Maybe they were actually serving God and they got carried away to a foreign land because of the sin of the nation. Let's not get hung up on how we got to where we are. The reality is God is a God of the future and he wants us to move forward. So let's read this. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 4. This is what it said. This is his letter, Jeremiah's letter to the people of Babylon. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. And this was his message. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and that ye may be increased there and not dismayed. Okay, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye, in the place peace thereof shall ye have peace. Amen. So, God was telling them to do what? To live. Mm-hmm. To live. Because, think about it this way. If you go to a foreign place, and you don't build a house, what are you going to sleep on? The ground? A tent? Like, that's not very comfortable. We go camping for Memorial Day weekend. We enjoy that. What if we lived out there? We didn't build no house. Haley, would that be any... After a while, it would get old in a hurry. Yeah. Your back would start hurting from sleeping on the floor. It would get old in a hurry. And so, God was telling them to what? Build a house? He was telling them to get married. If they weren't married, he was telling them to have children and let their children get married. And he was telling them to have grandchildren. He was telling them to plant a garden. What was he telling them to do? He was telling them to live. To live. To live. But what we're going to see in the next few verses, read the next few verses. What happens? Verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them. So there was false prophets that were in Babylon. And you read the history. This is what they were telling them. They were telling them, God's going to deliver us. This isn't going to last long. They were telling them not to build houses. They were telling them not to marry their children off. They were telling them not to plant vineyards. They were telling them. So, and then Jeremiah goes into the next verse. Read the next verse. Jeremiah says this. In verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words towards you, in causing you to return to this place. So, Jeremiah. Jeremiah told them, you're going to be there 70 years, and then God is going to perform a miracle. So, the false prophets were telling them, don't build a house, don't have children, don't plant a vineyard. So after a period of time, you're going to get rained on all the time. There's going to be nobody else. If you don't allow your kids to get married, there's going to be no grandchildren. Your family's going to be cut off. If you don't, after 70 years, if you plant a garden, what's the benefits of planting a garden? The pastor was talking about he's going to try to plant something this year. And when the crop starts coming up, it's going to be exciting. You have something to look forward to. You have food. You have nourishment. You're living. You're living. And so if they would have listened to the false prophets a couple years into it, they would have been a very depressed, heartbroken people. You know, God in his timings works everything out perfectly. And what God was actually telling these people to do through Jeremiah, because Jeremiah said, don't listen to them, listen to me. And Jeremiah said, God wants you to make a house. He wants you to plant a vineyard. He wants you to have children and grandchildren. He was telling them to get up and to live.
Yeah.
That's what he was telling them to do. Sometimes it's hard to get up and live, though, when we're in a situation and it's stacked up against us and we're facing things. You know, they had got ripped from their home and sent all the way to Babylon. You know, in a situation like that, you can imagine what it feels like. And a lot of us have felt like that at different times. What's the point? You know, and then you have like some people whispering, or even your own thoughts whispering, you might as well not plant a garden. You might as well not like pursue friendships. You might as well not invest in your children. You might as well not like do this or do that. And each one of us individually is different. You might as well just stop living. But Jeremiah's message to the children of Israel was, and we're going to see it in the next verse, I see you right where you're at, and I want you to keep living. I want you to keep living. Listen, some of the next scriptures are some of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible. If you haven't underlined them in your Bible, you really need to. So, verse 11, listen to what it says. This is what God says to them. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Listen to that. It says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in our life, we find ourselves just like the children of Israel. Down, out, we feel like we're carried away captive. And the temptation is to stop living. You know, you get up in the morning, you know, and you have choices to make that are going to influence your whole day. But when you get up in the morning, God wants to put a hop in your step. He wants to put joy in your heart. You know, because our mindset, you know, kind of carries us whatever way our mindset is going to carry us. What's the scripture say? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. And I'm not getting it exactly right, but it says think on these things. Why? Because when you think on them things, it structures your mind in a way that's positive. And so when you're thinking good, you get up and you're ready to live. You might run right or turn a woo with the radio on. Boy, I can tell when our house is going to be rocking. And what I mean by that is when my wife goes right over and she hops up out of bed and she gets right over there and she turns on, hey, Google or whatever the thing is, and she gets herself a worship song, and we wake up and right off the bat, me and Riley go, whoa, we know the atmosphere in the house. The atmosphere in the house is, we're going to have a good day. We're looking up. We're heading in the right direction. And when you do that, boy, there's a little bit giddy up in you. There's a hop in your step, and you're ready to go, and you're ready to live in the face of the day. And that's not always easy. It's not. But it's God's will for us to keep living. So Jeremiah sent a letter, and he says, I want you to live. I want you to be alive. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And then it talks about God wants to give us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. That doesn't mean that we won't have problems and difficulties and this and that. But Jeremiah sent a message, and he goes, plant a vineyard. Get married. Have children. Build a house. Pray for the peace of the place. He said, live. Don't become like the Babylonians. But in your own way, get up and live and go forward. So I just kind of felt in my spirit, that was the message today. Live. Live. Get up and live.
Amen.
Get up and hold on to God and honor God. Don't listen to the false prophets in your mind that would say, it's tough right now. Just hang in there. You know, sometimes we've got to hang in there. But while we're hanging in there, God wants to do good things.
Amen.
Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
I'm not going to be much longer. I'm really not, because I just had a point the Lord wanted to get. But does not the Lord want to do good things?
Amen.
Does not the Lord want to do good things for
yes.
us and for our
yes.
family and for our thing? And so
yes.
so there's a reason to look up.
Yeah.
There's a reason. Even though they were going to be there 70 years, their children were going to get married. They were going to have grandchildren. There was going to be a harvest of fruit, and there was going to be this and that and this and that. And God wanted them to live.
Amen.
He wanted them to live. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture over in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. No, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. That's what it says. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, come to God. Let God give you that mind that just rests in him. God wants to give us joy tonight, tomorrow morning. Cause us to get up. You'll be so happy that Riley's been on a baking kit. So I'll just use this here. You're going to be so happy you want to bake a delicious dinner for your family. Man, I'm not just talking to the ladies, because I enjoy doing that too. You're going to be so happy that you want to just wash all the clothes in the house twice. Okay. Maybe that's carried away. You just need to wash them once. You don't need to wash them twice. You're going to be so happy that you mow the yard twice. I'm being goofy, but you know the perspective. You know, when you're living today, you're living tomorrow. There's joy in your heart because God is going to do something, and God wants to do something.
Amen.
And he's going to do something. And because God, it will be lighter when the Lord puts it in our heart.
Amen.
And he has put it in our heart. Amen. So just finishing up with where we were in Jeremiah there. The key important part is really in verse, it's really in verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. When we do that, when we call upon God and we pray unto God, the Bible says, guess what God says? God said, I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, it says, ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn your captivity, and I will turn your captivity, I will turn it around. So when we seek for God with all our heart, full-heartedly, everything in it, you know, we're going to have a good day, and we're going to seek God, and we're going to honor God. God will turn the captivity of our mind. Amen. We're going to have a good day.
Amen.
We're going to have a good day. Amen. So, I'm not preaching to anybody individually. I think I'm preaching to all of us, including myself. We have days like that. You know? We like to wallow. Just speak for myself, not for you guys. We like to kind of feel it's a tough situation. You know, we feel like they went over there, they got carried away captive. I'm sure they have wallowed, and there were some of them were wallowing, and the wallowing of days turned into weeks, turned into months, turned into years, and Jeremiah was saying, no, it's time to live. It's time to live. And so I feel like God's just encouraging us. Let's live.
Amen.
Let's live.
Amen.
Let's get up and let's live. Amen. Let's pray.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you, God, for this message today. I really do believe that you wanted to encourage your people to live. God, to live. Lord, because you care for us. I really felt like you also just wanted to let us know that you see us right where we're at. Right where we're at, God. You haven't turned your back on us. You haven't forsaken us, Lord. You care about us. You care. And you want us to live. Lord, right now, just in stir up inside of us, Lord. God, just give us the anointing and the presence of mind, Lord, to know that you're right there quickening us, God. Encouraging us, fighting for us, Lord. You're for us. The Bible says you're for us and not against us, God. God, we're going to believe in you. We're going to press in. We're going to go forward. We're going to do it in your name, for your glory, in your honor. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a good song about going forward.
Not living life.
Amen. We can sing a lot of them. Amen. Anybody got one on their heart or their mind?
There's a river of life.
We can sing.
California, Hawaii, Australia, Dominican Republic, Kinzu Dam, whatever it is. If you were on that journey right now, you would be excited about it. Because you would be thinking about that final destination. I'm finally going to get to see the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm finally going to Australia. I'm going to get to see kangaroos. My first time with my eyes, I'm going to see those things. And the closer you got, the more excited you would get. We're on our way to heaven. And so every day there's another song that we sing. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter. Amen. I don't know all the words in that song. We should be excited about going to heaven like that. You're actually on a journey right now. And you're on your journey to heaven. And right now you're 7 days closer than you were a week ago.
Amen.
You're getting closer to that destination. And finally, one day you are going to be there. You're going to be standing before him, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to hear that trumpet sound. You're going to partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to come back with him. He's going to come back with 10,000 of his saints. He's coming on that white horse. We're coming back with him to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. Hey, that's what it's all about. That should put some excitement within us, because after all, the excitement of a trip is what makes the trip interesting. And so the excitement of getting to heaven should be what makes it interesting for us. Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, God, as we go from this place, not to lose the excitement of heaven, God, not to lose the excitement of the goal, but to realize we're been on a journey, God. We're going to get there someday if we remain faithful to you. Help us to have a joy and excitement down in our hearts and our souls, God. We're along for the ride. Sometimes the ride is a lot of fun. Sometimes the ride is pretty rough, but God, you're with us every step of the way. Thank you for it, Jesus. God, be with us this week, God. As we leave this place, we go with you, you go with us, and we'll let our light shine for you that people can come into the kingdom of God. We thank you for all things, Lord, and everybody said, amen. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad.